Hey Zoe, thank you for joining us for another message this week. We are starting a brand new series titled Clean, Clear, and Confident. In this week's message, we are talking about flashlight faith. God will always give you enough to keep moving forward, but he won't give you the entire picture because the life of faith is trusting him to keep moving forward. We hope you enjoy today's message. Here we go. We're going to be talking about faith today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, 1 Corinthians, for we walk by faith and not by sight, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by what? And not by sight. You might be wondering what this flashlight is doing. This is an aggressive flashlight. I apologize in advance. I asked somebody this morning, "Hey, do you have a different flashlight?" And they said no. And so I promise I'm not gonna hit anybody with this tonight. But this is an aggressive flashlight. I stole this from my cousin when I was like 10 years old, and I never gave it back. But we're talking about a flashlight kind of faith. The title of the message tonight is Flashlight Faith. Like a flashlight, if we were to turn off the lights here and I was to point this light in a specific direction of the room, it would illuminate that specific object that I point the light towards, but it wouldn't light up the entire room. In the life of faith, the life of following God, is God will give you enough to be able to see what's in front of you. He'll give you enough of the picture to be able to see how to keep moving forward. He'll give you enough to be able to say, okay, this is the direction that my life needs to head towards. This is the direction that he has for me. This is the calling in the current season that I'm in. But he doesn't give us, much to sometimes our frustration, he doesn't give us the whole picture. So sometimes we're waiting on a miracle. Sometimes we're waiting on a job opportunity. Sometimes we're praying for certain things. Sometimes it's just the mundane everyday parts of our life. And we don't see the full picture of what God is doing because he's given us a specific path and he's lit up the way for us to be able to walk on that path, but he hasn't given us the full picture. And so why faith is our function, why faith matters, why we walk by faith and not by sight is because the life of faith says, the spirit and the attitude of faith says that even though I can't see the whole picture, I still choose to move forward. The life of faith, the function of our faith is to say that in every part of my life, in my finances, in my relationships, in my relationship with God, in my relationship with others, in my home, every aspect, every area, in my job, career, you name it, I walk by faith and not by sight. I may not have all of the answers to everything that's happening, but I choose to walk by faith. And so I know that God has given me just enough to be able to move forward in the current season that I'm in. Something to know about your calling. Remember, you are called. Remember, you are chosen. The enemy and the world would love nothing more than for you to forget that. Because God has graced you with skills and talents that are on your life to be used for his glory and to make an impact that lasts for generations. So we got to start there, that you have a grace and a calling on your life. And if somebody has told you otherwise, say, nah, fam, you can use this flashlight. Say, get that out of here. I got a purpose and a calling to walk in that I'm not going to let anybody steal from me. Amen? So you got to remember the thing about calling is it's never achieved. Calling in the skills and everything that God has given you, it's not achieved. It's walked out in phases. It's walked out in stages. So the current season that you're in right now, it's just the current season that you're in right now. But if you don't take it seriously of what God is doing, if you don't press into him, if you don't lean in with faith, you can miss what God is trying to teach you in this current season for the next season. So by the time you get into the next season, you're like, dang, I'm still struggling with this, or this thing is still happening, or I can't figure out what's happening. Well, I missed it back here, but good thing, we serve a gracious God who's with us every step of the way. He graces us. And the reason that we walk by faith and not by sight is because I don't have the whole picture. I don't have the whole picture. And so I got to make sure that I'm attentive in this season. I'm attentive in this season to what God is doing in my life, because I know it's preparation. I know it's preparation for what he's walking me into. We serve a gracious God. So when we make mistakes, don't worry about it. You make a mistake, you go to God, there's grace, there's healing, there's forgiveness. But I also got to be attentive and lean into what is God teaching me in this season so that I can walk in what he has for me. I can take steps forward. I can lean into what he's speaking to me. If there's something that he's trying to teach me, I can lean into it. If there's something I'm praying for, if there's a circumstance that I'm going through, I may not see the whole picture and I may not understand it, but I at least know that God is with me. 1 Peter 1 says it like this. I love 1 Peter 1:6-7. It says, this brings you great joy, although you may have to suffer for a short time in various trials. Such trials show the proven character of your faith, which is much more valuable than gold, gold that is tested by fire, even though it is passing away, and will bring praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Your faith matters. Your faith matters. It's much more valuable than gold. It's much more valuable, fill in the blank for what that word can be for gold, but it matters more. Your faith matters because it's an acknowledgement of my dependency on God. So the biblical definition of faith, Hebrews 11, says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. A couple verses later, it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God. So what the Bible is not teaching us is that it is impossible to please God without tithing. What it's not teaching us is it's impossible to serve God if you don't read your Bible every day. It's not saying that it's impossible to please God if you forget to pray over the food at a restaurant. It says it's impossible to please God without what? Faith. In other words, when you realize and have an acknowledgement that I don't have all the answers, when you have an acknowledgement that I've come to the end of myself and the only way forward in my life is to trust God, that pleases him. You want to know what brings God joy? Your faith. Not anything that you bring to the table, not any skills, not any talents, not how much money you've given, not how much you've served, not how much you've attended church. The Bible's very clear. What pleases God is your faith, your daily dependency on him. Your daily, just every single day, I'm waking up. God, I trust you today. I put my faith in you. I'm walking forward in this circumstance. I don't have all the answers. I don't know what you're doing. I can't see the whole picture, but I'm walking forward in faith. Amen? Amen. Your faith is more precious than gold. It's more precious than gold. I was at a funeral this past Thursday, and faith, like gold, it goes through the fire. And I was at a funeral, a memorial for somebody, and a young guy, his late 30s, early 40s, and just passed away. And what do you say to a wife with a 5-year-old and an almost 3-year-old? What do you say? But to just, I'm praying for you. I believe that God is going to work out this situation for your good. I believe in faith that your husband served his calling on life, in this life. And so now as you move forward, again, I don't know why God did it. I don't have all the answers. I don't know why that this was God's plan, but we're choosing to move forward in faith. We're choosing to give this situation and this circumstance to God, to say, God, you're fully in control. And I may not have all the answers. I may not see the whole picture, but I know you've given me just enough. Oh, come on, Zoe. I know you've given me just enough to be able to keep moving forward. The reason that we walk by faith, and the reason that your faith is more precious than gold, any material thing, anything that we have, is because it also is transferred. We have, when we do prayer requests and when we worship together, it's a moment of communal faith. Why does church matter? It's because it's when the community of God comes together. And there may be somebody here that's like, you know what? I'm actually in a really great season right now. God's blessing me and feel like God's answered my prayers and all that kind of stuff. You may be sitting next to somebody who's here today on fumes. They came in here, this was their last resort. And the faith that you have in this service transfers to them. When you worship and you bless and worship God, that faith, because we're spirit-to-spirit beings, that faith transfers and is emitted into the room, where we stir up an atmosphere of faith where we say, hey, I don't have all the answers. I don't know everything. But what I do know is that God is the God of the impossible, that God is for me. He's not against me, that he's worthy, that he's holy, and that he's working out my situation for good. Your faith transfers. For any parents in the room, your faith, like our bad habits, transfers to our kids, right? Your faith transfers to the next generation. We're having our movement youth night this upcoming Friday, and it's all middle schoolers in our church. And what that is about is, you know, the faith that's in this room transfers to them. The faith that's here tonight transfers to them. I'm here because of the faith of my grandparents praying for me for years. I'm here on the faith of my parents praying for me for years. I'm here on the faith of Pastor Chad and Pastor Julia. When I was 18, Pastor Chad looking at me and saying, you're called to ministry. When I was 25 and I was 6-month-old and I was losing my dad, Pastor Chad calling me on the phone saying, I got faith for you. We're going to make it through this. We're going to trust God. We're going to believe. I got the moment after moment after moment of transferred faith. I've sat in this room during the prayer request moments and during worship in seasons where it's been tough, and I've lifted my hands and I've relied on the faith of you to help me. When I've lifted my hands and I've said, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I need the faith of my church and my community to minister to me. The faith that happens in this room, the atmosphere that we stir up on Sundays and in connect groups, it transfers. It matters. The reason that we walk by faith and not by sight is because we don't have all of the answers, and that's okay. We're human beings. We got limitations. But God has given each and every one of us just enough to keep putting one foot in front of the other and to say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to keep trusting. I'm putting my faith in you. I don't have all the answers, but I got a community around me, and I know we're moving forward, and I know what you said, and I know you're a promise keeper, and I know you're for me. I know you hold. Amen? And so faith being our function is how we operate in our daily life. It is a daily dependency on God. Amen. So we're going to look at four ways today of how faith functions in our life. The first one is faith provides perspective even when I can't see it. Faith provides perspective even when I can't see it. We said it earlier, but 2 Corinthians 5, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Anybody ever been camping? Camping. I don't know if I'm built for camping. I'm built for like the glamping. I don't know why I had to say it with a southern accent. Just feels better. Camping. But I grew up camping, and it was like my parents' way of saying like, hey, you know, we can't go to Disney World, but we're going to go camping, you know? And they, like, tried to hype it up. I'm like, fam, I really just want to go to Disney World like all my other friends, but it's fine. But we grew up going camping, and one of the best parts about going camping was the campfire stories. You know, you get around a campfire, and, you know, you start telling scary ghost stories. That was amazing. I got so scared. Like, the heck? Ghost stories. Ghost stories, yeah. So, you know, the best part about, like, campfires, you know, the campfire was the ghost stories, and you'd get around a campfire, and somebody would have the flashlight. They'd hold it up like this, you know? And you're like, many years ago, under a full moon, Agatha was murdered in cold blood. And her spirit hasn't rested in 300 years. And she's here. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. But the thing that made, you know, the campfire ghost stories so scary wasn't the actual story. It was the fact that it was completely dark behind you. And if somebody stepped on a branch, you were like, what's happening? Agatha, are you there? I'm sorry about your spirit. I don't know. But fear distorts our perspective. So when it comes to faith, fear distorts your perspective of what is happening in reality, and it distorts your perspective of God. So what the enemy wants to do is he wants to instill fear into your life so that you don't see God the way that God is. So when it comes to circumstances, when it comes to situations, what happens is the enemy comes in and says, well, did God really say that he's going to provide? Did God really say that he's going to meet that need? I know your friends have been sending you encouragement, but that doesn't really matter to you, right? And so in fear, we can sometimes take matters into our own hands. And so instead of resting in God for financial help or resting in God for job opportunities or whatever the case may be, we begin to take matters into our own hands. And fear causes us to not trust God and believe God for who he says he is. The fear of not knowing what's going to happen. The fear of not knowing, God, how are you going to answer this request? In the Bible, there's a story about a guy named Abraham. God comes to him and he says, Abraham, I want you to leave your hometown. And Abraham's like, okay, great. Like, I got the playlist ready. I got some Celsius to stay awake. Just tell me where I'm going. And God's like, nah, just get on the road. Abe's like, all right, man, but like, I got to put something in the maps. And God's just like, no, like, just go. And he's like, okay, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. Is it like the 405 South? 710? 105? Like, where are we going? Look at what it says here in Hebrews 11, verse 8. Check out what it says. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. If you only take steps forward of what you know is going to happen, it's not faith. It's not faith. Amen. Notice, I love what it says here. Again, verse 8, when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. You know, sometimes the thing that's holding you back from getting what God has for you is that you're not going on his word. And so hey, it's time to go. It's time to do this. It's time to, I need you to listen. And your inheritance is on the other side of your yes. But fear grips us. The fear of the unknown. The fear of what's going to happen. How will people see me? What if I don't have the finances for it? What if I don't make it? Or what? Fill in the blank. And notice, notice the way that you go. You just keep going backwards and backwards and backwards, and you don't go forward in what God has for you. And that inheritance is waiting for you, but you've paralyzed yourself with fear and what God has for you on the other side. So the action step for us today is to read His Word, the Bible. To read His Word. And, you know, we have a reading plan that's on our website. You can download that. Maybe it's just a verse a day. Maybe that verse is just something you're meditating on throughout the day. Maybe you only got one verse in you. Maybe you can read a couple chapters a day. Whatever that looks like for you. I love listening to it, listening to the Bible when I get an opportunity. Sometimes I'll just keep a couple verses and I'll just read a couple verses, throughout. But sometimes just pick something that works for you. Read His Word. The Bible says in Psalm 119 that His Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Amen? So the first thing is, when I can't see it, I got to have some perspective of faith. Secondly, faith keeps moving forward even when I don't feel like it. Even when I don't feel like it. To know me is to know that I love John Mayer. I love that man. I love him. And he released a song called I Guess I Just Feel Like. Should I sing it? Yeah. No, come on. Get out of here. I won't. But our culture is becoming more comfortable with just, I just didn't feel like it. I felt like saying this. I felt like doing that. And the problem is that's just the opposite of the spirit and attitude of faith. Because faith keeps moving forward even when I don't feel like it. Even when I don't feel like it, even when I don't see the whole picture, even when I am frustrated or even when I am weary, I keep moving forward. I choose to keep moving forward on the path that God has for me. And so even when I don't feel like praying well, that's probably a time to pray. I don't feel like reading the Bible. Maybe that's the time to maybe just look up a verse. Read the Bible. See what God has, that fresh word, that fresh vision for you in that day. And so even when I don't feel like it, like fam, nobody likes going to the gym. Nobody does. Nobody likes eating clean. My wife and I, we were talking this week. We were like, you know, maybe we should be on this like high protein diet. I don't want to. I want to eat Wingstop every day. Somebody say amen. I want some lemon pepper. I mean, that's the loudest you've been tonight when I started talking about Wingstop. Oh, my goodness. But even when I don't feel like it, it's like, all right, I'll eat clean because I know it's good for me. Faith, I keep moving forward in faith even when I don't feel like, because I know it's good for me. Because I know God has me on this plan. I know He has me on this path, and I know what He's leading me into. Amen? So faith being that daily dependence on God, faith, the action step for us today is prayer. Prayer. Faith has a voice. It has a language. Let me tell you, this is what it sounds like. God is in control. The language of faith sounds like God is my provider. God holds me in the palm of His hand. God is my healer. God keeps His promises. God is the potter and I am the clay. He is God and I am man. He is creator and I am creation. Faith has a voice. It has a language. It says, God, you are good all of the time. Not just some of the time. You are good all of the time. The language of faith says, God, I know you have a plan and a purpose, and you're walking with me, and you're working with me, and I'm seeing how you do it. There is a voice and a language to faith. And within that, there is a voice in a language that we talk back to the enemy when the enemy wants to come in and deceive us. You say, no, 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 you are a deceiver. The Bible says that the enemy is the father of lies. So I'm not going to believe the lies of the enemy. I'm not going to believe the lies of people. I'm not going to believe the lies of culture because I know what God has said about me. I know the plan that he has me on. And so I trust him through it. Faith has a language. Begin to get comfortable with your voice. Get comfortable with, hey, enemy. Get out of here. Got to stomp or something. I don't know. But get comfortable. Faith has a voice. It has a language. You got a voice. Use it. It's a good one. Because it's given to you by God. So use that voice. Use that language of faith. Declare those statements over your home, over your life, over your job, over your relationships every day. Amen? So even when I can't see it, even when I don't feel like it, number three, faith remains in community even when I want to distance myself. Even when I want to distance myself. When we get frustrated or confused or agitated, what typically begins to happen is we begin to distance ourselves. So God, I haven't seen you move in this area and I'm frustrated. And instead of leaning in, instead of faith, instead of trusting, I begin to distance myself from God. I begin to distance myself from him. And so I'm going to stay away from community. I'm going to stay away from church. I'm going to stay away from my friends. I'm not going to text back, even though they're sending encouraging stuff. You know, I was asking this question around the office. Who made Olivia Rodrigo so sad? Who made her so sad? The music is amazing. But who made her so mad? And I was asking this question, around the office. My wife and I are going to a concert in August. I'm excited. But we're going to cry. It's going to be amazing. My wife said, I'm going to say this because it's 6 p.m. My wife said this the other day. She goes, what makes music like this so fun? It reminds you of high school, like the breakups. You're so pumped about, the music. It's like, oh, man, we just broke up. But this song is just really getting me through it. She's like, I like this Olivia Rodrigo. I'm like, what are you trying to say, man? But faith remains in community. 1 Peter 5 says it like this: be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So what the enemy's plan is for you is he wants to, when you're agitated, when you're confused, when you're not operating in faith, he wants to lure you away from community. Because if he can lure you away from community, he can get you away from the strength of the community. And so as he lures you away, that's when he attacks. That's when he attacks. My kids, they love the Jungle Book, like the new Jungle Book. And there's a phrase that all the wolves say in this new Jungle Book where it's the strength of the wolf is the pack. And the strength of our church is this room right here. It's this room. It's I Love My City. It's connect groups. So the action step for us today is connect groups. Be in community. Get around godly people who look at you and say, no, 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 I know who you are. I know who God's called you to be. I believe in it, and I'm going to champion you down that path that God has you on. And I'm not going to let you get lured away by the enemy. I'm not going to let you get lured away because I'm going to come get you. And I'm going to bring you back into connect groups. I'm going to bring you back into community. I'm going to have you over. Let your house be a place of shelter for people. It should be a place of shelter where when people are being lured away, you can't, nope. We're coming back. We're getting healthy. We're getting right. We're remembering who God has called us to be. So even when I can't see it, even when I don't feel like it, even when I want to distance myself, the last thing is faith rests in Jesus. Faith rests in Jesus, even when I want to take matters into my own hands. Even when I want to take matters into my own hands. I'm going to invite the worship team to come join me here. Even when I want to take matters into my own hands. A major sign of maturity in following God is humility. And it's not a humility that says, I'm nothing, I don't matter. It's a humility that is an acknowledgement of the limitations that I have and saying that I'm only human, but I serve God. I don't have all the answers, but I serve the God who does. I can't heal you, but I serve a healing God. I can't do everything. And it's an acknowledgement to say, God, you are God. And I need you to take control in my life. I need you to be there in my life. LA is all about the new and the new restaurant and the new clothes and new fashion and new cars. And it's all fun. But God is a God of longevity. And so he's more about the years of faith, the years of prayer, the years of service, the years of love, the years of pressing in and trusting him and the ebbs and the flow and the roller coaster of life. And so to get to be able to do that is not a life of striving. You can only strive for so long. But a life of faith is a life that rests in Jesus. A life of faith says, you know what? I don't have all the answers and I don't know everything that's happening in my life, but I trust God and I'm at peace, that he will take care of everything that I'm going through. This past week, we were at All Church Prayer. And at All Church Prayer, there was somebody that was there that was praying. And, you know, I looked during prayer and she was sitting like this. She was like on a chair, but she was sitting like this. And I was like, respect. I'm too insecure to pray like that. I like have to be looking, you know, but she was like this. And it spoke to me when I saw it, that spoke to me. And I saw that. And I saw it because it's a physical posture of a spiritual and an internal reality of saying, I'm at peace, even though the storm is happening. Even through all the prayer, I'm lean back, resting in God's presence, knowing that there's no striving, knowing that I don't have all the answers, and I'm just living on faith. I'm just living on, God, what are you going to do in this moment? And I'm trusting you through it all. Amen. I want to do this. You don't have to close your eyes, but I want to read this verse, and just for way of visualization, this is the God that we put our faith in tonight. So I'm going to ask, if you don't want to, but just to close your eyes, I'm going to read these verses. This is the God that we serve right here. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This is the words of Jesus saying, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Somebody say amen. That is the God that we serve. A God that says, come to me, get away with me, and recover your life. A God that says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. If in the life of faith you don't feel free or light, you're probably not walking in faith. to know me is to know that I am probably like the biggest control freak you've ever met. So when I say this, track with me. If there's an area in your life that you're kind of a control freak in, chances are it's probably an area in your life that you don't have a lot of faith. And you're not at peace. You're not at rest. It feels forced. It doesn't feel like a rhythm because you're trying to force it. And you don't feel free and you don't feel light because it's an area in your life that you don't feel free in. And so you feel heavy and burdened because you're trying to carry that on your own. And the life of faith says, I don't have all of the answers, but I know what God has called me to. And I know that He is my good shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We serve the God that says, be still and know that I am God. We serve the God that says, turn your eyes to the mountains. Look where your help comes from. It comes from me, the maker of heaven and earth. We serve the God that says, walk with me, watch me, learn how I do it. And so to live freely and lightly in the path of God is to walk by faith, because faith rests in God, rests in Jesus, rests in His grace, in who He is. Faith, again, faith is a daily dependence on God. And so I remember and I read His word and I pray and I'm in a connect group and I identify these areas in my life that I need to surrender to Him so that I can what? I can walk freely and lightly. Anybody want to walk freely and lightly today? Anybody want to experience the grace? And the faith. Faith. Faith is your function. Faith is your function. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet and we'll pray. God,